Good morning. I often say it's lovely to come into the peace of God's house. But this morning it's lovely to come into the coolness of God's house and to worship him. And first of all, just want to say a happy Father's Day, Grandfather's Day to all fathers, father figures, and for some of us, the time to just reflect on our fathers that have influenced us in so many ways. And as we come to worship, we worship God as Father to the fatherless and Father of all. And I think that's a lovely way to think about our worship this morning as we are going to share some of what we've been blessed with from our Bible studies on Friday as we've looked through Psalm 139, which, as we've all been saying as we've been going along, has been such a blessing to us. And also the truths that we find within that passage. So as we come to worship, we worship the God who inhabits our world and indwells our lives. We need not look up to find God. We need only to look around within ourselves, beyond ourselves, into the eyes of another. We need not listen for distant thunder to find God. We need only listen to the music of life, the words of children, the questions of the curious, the rhythm of a heartbeat. We worship the God who inhabits our world and who indwells our lives. We come to worship God, who loved us before we were yet born, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases. This is our God. Let's worship him together. Amen. And as we sing our opening hymn number 882, Lord of all hopefulness, it reminds us of God's presence all day and every day.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come this morning to worship you, that we choose to come this morning to worship you in freedom and in peace and in love. We thank you that we have a reason to worship, a reason to hope, a reason to come with our church family and just be together and think about all that you mean to us. We do thank you for your presence here, your presence that never leaves us, even when we leave this building. We thank you that we are your church. Lord, that the people that we would see and speak to, Lord, would somehow find something of you in each one of us, whether it be in words spoken or actions done. Lord, that they would want to know more about you. We thank you for the beauty of your creation, for all that you have made, that we can see you as we look around at the flowers and the trees. Lord, at the different seasons, and Lord, we even bless you for this heat wave that's about to come. Because Lord, we thank you that every day is new with you. And great is your faithfulness to each one of us. Lord, as we go about our daily business, help us to think more about you, to come to you more in prayer, to seek your ways and your wisdom. Lord, we're sorry for the times that we're so busy with our own to-do lists that we forget that you want to be part of our everyday lives. Lord, that perhaps there's something you would like us to do. So Lord, help us to pause and to listen, perhaps more than we speak sometimes, so that we would hear your still, calm voice. Lord, we pray for our friends here, Lord, with different struggles and for people that are recovering from procedures, Lord, for other people that are visiting relatives, Lord, that are at end of life. We just pray that you would draw close to them today. Lord, I just pray that you would show yourselves in all the troubles that we experience, Lord, the ones that we see that we feel so small and vulnerable to help. But Lord, we thank you that we can pray for different people all over the world. And Lord, that we see glimpses of you in those, Lord, that seek to make peace, that seek to bring aid, that seek to love those that are homeless and lost. Lord, we thank you that each one of us is made in your image. And Lord, that the qualities that we show, the characteristics, Lord, are all based on who you are as our Father God. So, Lord, as we do come this Father's Day, we do thank you for the gifts of fathers, grandfathers, and father figures. Pray that you would bless them with wisdom, patience, and strength. That you would guide them in their daily lives and fill them with the courage to lead their families with love and grace. May they feel valued and appreciated, not just today, but every day. And Father God, we come to you. And we just thank you for all things. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us as we wish to bless you. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we're continuing worship as we sing number 59, Blessed Assurance. You must be singing well this morning. A chap's just walked past and looked in and given me a big beaming smile. So keep singing. Keep singing louder. So the service this morning is going to take a different change of order, just in case you start to think, hang on a minute, we're already getting a preach. Why is that happening? We're going to, as I say, look at the passage that we looked at Bible study. I'm just going to give you a little introduction to it. And I've asked some friends to share some of their thoughts as to what the psalm means to them after the next hymn. So as I say, we're looking at Psalm 139, which is on page 628 of the Bibles. But we're going to read it together, and it's going to come up on the screen. Ta-da! For those of you who want to look up, those of you who want to have it open as we talk about it, that's fine too. And as I said to the people that gathered at Bible study, it's one of those passages that has all the omnis of God, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, so that we have a God who knows everything, who is everywhere, and in his power formed every part of us, even the bits that we don't like. Because God loves us just the way we are. And I think that's what brings this wonderful passage to life. And it also describes his holiness, because he will judge the wicked. And at the end of this, David, after he's poured out his praise and his thanks, asks God to search his heart. So we're going to read together Psalm 139. It's not like the Lord's Prayer, it's not a race. It's a nice little, let's meditate on this as we read it. So together, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I'm awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I hate those who hate you, Lord? And abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. So we're going to think about what it means that we are always on God's mind. And so as we just hear an introduction to those words, you can sit comfortably if you want for a little while, rather than creak. She keeps telling me it's the stool. I think one of the phrases that stuck with me when we were studying this together was that God knows you better than you know yourself. And one of the questions that we... Awesome. Stop nicking my preach. I don't know about you, but I like to people watch. I think I've said it before. I do like to watch people as they're going about their daily business, especially if you're waiting for something. So you can sit there and you can take on, can't you, everything that's going on around you and everybody. And it's funny, isn't it? When you start looking, you realise just how different we all are, with different expressions and different mannerisms. And, you know, it's wonderful to think that, yeah, we are unique, each one of us, in so many ways. When we started this study, I asked those that had mobiles to reverse their cameras and have a good look at themselves. You can do that at home if you want to later. But just to say what they saw, you know, because we often take selfies, don't we? Those of us who dare. But then, as we were thinking about this psalm and the words that we've just read together, we were encouraged to think about how God sees us and to see ourselves through God's eyes. Often we see ourselves like a reflection, as I was saying, in like the carnival mirrors, you know, when you're either wide or tall or somewhere in between, you know, all slightly distorted. We've all stood in front of those mirrors, haven't we? Yes? If not, I'll get some. The fun fair's down at the Rye in a few weeks. Go and help yourself. But, you know, we'd see ourselves, yeah, distorted, out of shape, frankly, sometimes quite comical at times. And there's also this parts of us that perhaps we don't want God to see or for God to search. As we've read that psalm, and some of you, it might be new to this morning, it's a breathtaking reminder that we are intimately known, flawlessly created, and never out of God's reach. It's a masterclass in spirituality that transitions from deep personal awe to a bold, confident prayer for ongoing grace. David starts with a staggering truth. God knows everything about us. Just take that in for a moment and think, oh my gosh. He knows everything we've done and said from the minute we got up this morning, probably even before we got up, when we moaned when the alarm clock went off. You know, 10 more minutes, God, if you don't mind. He understands our thoughts from far away and knows every word we're about to speak before it even reaches our tongues. Sometimes I wish God would press the holy mute button so that it stayed in there and not out there. But still, he accepts us and he loves us. His total awareness of us therefore should comfort us, because he stays with us through every situation and in every trial, protecting, loving and guiding us and knowing and loving us completely. As David expresses, God is ever present. He is present everywhere. And because of this, as we've just said, we can never escape his spirit. That is good news to those who know and love God, because no matter what we do or where we go, we're never far away from God's guiding and comforting presence. The psalm is also a prayer. It's meant to be sung in praise or worship services. It's also an imprecatory prayer where David aligns himself entirely with God's holiness and justice. For the things that upset God, David says, they upset me too. Prayer is conversation with God, layered with all these intricate levels which contribute to our relationship with God, who is our Father. As we think about David's prayerful meditation of God's presence, of his knowledge and power, and the effect that these characteristics of God have on our human heart, knowing God creates gratitude and praise for who he is and what he has done for us. And we were made, created to glorify God. As it says in the Westminster Catechism, that is the chief end of man, to glorify God. Knowledge of God directly affects our reactions, especially in times of hardship and of injustice and in pain. David's heartfelt journey with God through the good, the bad, and the ugly. I knew you would. And unbelievable remains alive and relevant throughout the psalm. Before we were known to our mothers, God was forming every intricate detail and fabric of who each one of us became. We often, as I say, default to a critical view of ourselves and often of others. Do we ever question why God made us the way that he did? Quite often. Yeah. Sometimes we say, why God? But as we've read those words, I think, and friends will share later, that helps to see ourselves and others through God's perspective. We need to remember that we are wonderfully made. We are God's masterpiece. Do you feel like a masterpiece this morning?
Yes.
Thank you. And we are born as the will of God. We are created personally and purposely to bring glory to God. Nothing about it is accidental. God gives life and cares infinitely more. And we are all loved by God in this way. Being intimately known by our sovereign God means that we're not hidden, nor should we feel compelled or convinced by guilt or shame to hide from him in any way. God's forgiveness, his mercies, and his grace are available to us through Christ Jesus. As new as each day, great is God's faithfulness to each one of us. We aren't made wonderful in the eyes of the world, but from the heart of God to bring glory back to his name. We have each been intentionally set apart and different from the world, and we should therefore trust only in the one who created us and knows us inside out. There is infinitely more happening in the world and our lives than we can conceivably see, even with social media and all the other things that interrupt our daily lives. But God's view is limitless, transcending time and space. He has numbered our days, and nothing can change or alter his good plan in our lives. He eclipses everything that we want. We must remember that nothing in the universe is random without divine design and purpose. One of the greatest ploys of the devil is to isolate us and convince us that we are alone, especially in today's society when loneliness is so prolific. You would think, with everything that we've got now, that actually people would be better off But actually, what is happening is that people are getting more and more isolated. Because if you look, I love sitting on the tube and watching people with their faces in their phone. Nobody talks to each other anymore because it's much more interesting on what's going on in the square box in front of them. But even when the physical presence of other people is absent from our lives, we are never alone. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always and forever with us. God is impossible to escape from. So I'm going to tell you that now. Don't bother trying. Because wherever you go, God will find you. In fact, he already knows where you're going. So cut out the middleman. And he, as we sing often, is mighty to save. And as we read those awkward verses in 15 to 22, judgment belongs to God alone. Many of the Psalms teach us to love our enemies and pray to God on their behalf. So then what does David mean when he writes those verses about hating those who hate God? Hate is such a strong word, but David expresses it forthrightly. Rather than expressing a petty personal grudge, David's hatred is framed as righteous indignation against those who commit violence, blaspheme God, and oppose his truth. When we were thinking about those verses, we had to realize that we have the choice whether we hate or whether we love. And in actual fact, it's better to love than to hate. And that's why those verses follow so soon afterwards, verse 23, 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we pray this verse, God faithfully answers. We are to pray for our enemies and the enemies of God, and pleading that he searches our souls as well. Because he knows our enemies and he knows us better than we do. And praying for persecutors is actually presented as a way to disarm bitterness, shift personal perspectives, and break cycles of hatred. Oh, that we would pray that prayer over so much of our world today, and so many of the problems that we hear about would no longer be there. So are our thoughts God's thoughts or our own? Psalm 139 is a personal prayer and a song of praise to God. Though author and creator of the entire creation, including each one of us, God is personally in touch with every single one of our lives. That's amazing, isn't it? He knows what I'm about to say. He knows because I've written what he told me to say. He knows what you're thinking as you're sitting there, and he knows what the rest of our days looks like. He cares deeply and compassionately for us, not only as a whole, but individually. And as we've been sharing it, this psalm over these last 5 weeks, it presented so many questions, and I'm sure many more as we study it further. What emotions or thoughts does God's power stir in each one of us? How does understanding God's intimate knowledge of us influence our decisions and our actions? What steps can we take to ensure that our words and thoughts are pleasing to God, knowing that he's always aware of them? As we shared this psalm over the weeks, many feelings were articulated, and I'm sure many will be in a minute. Reading those words of David, so personal, made us feel a bit vulnerable at times, a bit uncomfortable, maybe a bit restricted, but also because we love God, we made to feel comforted and reassured and protected. One of the words that was expressed was that we are precious. So how does the presence of God provide comfort in times of loneliness or hardship? because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and resurrection from the dead, we are able to come freely to God through Christ. In prayer and praise and everyday life, he is our constant companion. When we read God's word, Jesus calls us friends. What a God each one of us serves. We are known, loved, and we never walk alone. And so after our next hymn, as we remind ourselves of the words of that psalm, friends will share what they have felt as we've shared together. So we'll sing number 587. Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
Thank you.
So if I ask Tony, then Louise, then Pauline, that saves me getting up. Tony, thank you.
When we were looking at this psalm on Friday, the last few verses really hit me because I'm thinking of David, how he engineered the murder of Bathsheba's husband. And I thought, though I don't think I've ever murdered, well, maybe the odd fly, but it brought to me that there are times when I'm supposed to be, like in church now, wrong thoughts come into my head, and same when I'm at home reading my daily readings. And I know they're not of me, they're of the devil sitting on my shoulder saying, you don't need to do this, you know. And I try my hardest to concentrate, but the thoughts do keep coming. And I then have to turn to God and ask for forgiveness for the wrong things. And also sometimes I say the wrong things, and I'm reminded of what James said about the tongue. You need to keep control of it, and it's so easy to get out of hand. So this psalm really spoke to me about wrong thoughts, wrong speaking, and wrong actions. Thank you.
As they say, friends, follow that. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. Wow. Thought-provoking words indeed, and these are the opening lines of Psalm 139. We have been studying this powerful psalm in Bible study on Friday afternoons. Sharon has led us and guided us to consider and discuss how the verses bring to us God's amazing insight and love for us all as individuals. For me personally, Bible study has given me the opportunity to listen, ask questions, and learn more of God's word, and then apply it in my life. Psalm 139 has it all. I now read it through every morning while I'm having my breakfast, prepared every day by Tony. I don't ever recall being so moved by a scripture passage, but I have now. It gives me such courage, trust, hope, and love in the Lord to know that He is with me every moment in everything I do. He knows me inside out. How amazing is that? So I sincerely thank Sharon and Pauline and all the wonderful friends who attend Bible study. And on their behalf, I extend an invitation to you all this morning. Come and join us next time. It will bring your Friday afternoons to new heights, and tea and delicious cake when you float down. Thank you, and God bless.
This morning in my reading, it was Psalm 139, and I was quite surprised when I opened it. But these last 5 weeks in Psalm 139 have been a very special encouragement and blessing to me, a real reassurance that God loves each one of us. And for me, that's something I know in my head, but very often it doesn't get down to my heart. How could God love somebody like me with all the things I've done, with all the things I've seen? And yet it says in this passage that God loves us and that his love is unconditional, however I see myself. That really came through to me one of the afternoons. Just think about it. God loves each one of us unconditionally. Whoever we are, however we are his children. And that really, really came home to me. And I need to accept that and believe it and trust him and let it come through, not just in my head, but in my heart as well. And we know that's true because of what God did in sending Jesus. In verse 17, it says, "How precious are your thoughts about me?" Have you ever thought that God thinks precious thoughts about you? That to me was just, think of the something most precious thing you've got or that is. And God, you're as precious to God as that is. And that really, really got down into my head and my heart. We know it's true because of Jesus. And I just want to say thank you to God for the opportunity over these past few weeks of stopping and thinking more about God's love and about what he's done for us and about the fact that he does know all about us and he's with us all the time. But we need to accept it and we need to turn to him. The hymn came to mind this morning, "Faithful God, so unchanging, Lord of all, you're my rock of peace." And that psalm tells us that he's our rock, he's our fortress, he's our deliverer, he's our father, and he loves us. Amen.
We never know where we're going when we have Bible studies. God does. But it's so wonderful to hear friends speak in the way that they have, and others that were there have their own thoughts in their heads. But, you know, few words that God gives us comfort. We are never alone. God is continually with us and knows every detail. For those that struggle with their identity and their self-worth, we are purposeful creations made by our loving Father, wonderfully and fearfully made. I always get them in the wrong order. Wonderfully, fearfully, fearfully, wonderful, doesn't matter. We are God's creation. And knowing each of and everything of this leads to our growth in our relationship with God, our Father. Like David, invite God, be bold to examine your hearts so that he can lead us into his truth and his way everlasting, because he wants us to grow in our love for him and for one another. Let's pray. Creating God, as we have gathered in your name to worship you, we give thanks that there is a small spark of you within each one of us. Kindle that small spark into a flame of love and service. Sustaining God, as we have gathered in your name to worship you, we celebrate your loving presence in our lives. May your loving presence be a strong influence in our lives. Nurturing God, as we have gathered in your name to worship you, we rejoice that God teaches us about love and forgiveness. As we grow in faith, trust, and love for God, may our worship, witness, and service bring honour to God's holy name. Amen. We can't help but now sing of God's faithfulness to each and every one of us as we sing number 200, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Next week's service will be led by a speaker from Release International, Johnny Payne, who will come and talk to us about the way God is working in other parts of the world. And I am here next week, so no bunking off, I will know. Let's pray. As we leave this place, let's not forget there is nowhere we can go where God is not. Everywhere we go, God goes before us. From the farthest ocean to the highest mountain, from the heights of joy to the depths of despair, wherever we find ourselves, God is already there. So go in peace, for we do not go alone. Wherever you go this week, know this: God knows you better than you know yourself. No matter where you go or what you do, God is already there, surrounding you with mercy and guiding you with love. So go with joy and confidence, knowing that God goes with you. Amen.